Hey, hey, hey. What's that sound? Uh-oh, it ain't no stopping you now. Playing, that means that it's time for another exciting, informative segment of the A-Game. Welcome, A-Game listeners, to another time that we'll spend together just exploring different aspects of my toolkit that I share with you every week on the A-Game to help us make sure that our A priority, our G, our goals, our actions, mentalities, and that we have a contingency plan to deal with those excuses that can get in the way of your success. Yes, the A-Game is on again on 1023, WEAJ 1023 radio, and I welcome all of my listeners here and say thank you so much for joining in and signing up one more time to listen in. And that's encouraging to me, and I know that it's also encouraging to you to have someone putting it down for you in a way that you can optimize these situations that happen in life that we have no control over. When we optimize and have a contingency plan to get through the possibility that something can happen, I know that that's very, very important in determining how resilient you are. Yes, it's Reverend Winston C. Trumpet from Brooklyn, New York, given this opportunity to just speak to you about life. Now, I'm not a professional or at everything in life that can go down, that can hurt, and I don't have all of the answers. And basically, on this show, I basically share my personal experiences in a number of things: raising a family, walking with the Lord, running a business, being in ministry. These are all from experiences in my life and the tools that I've used along the way to get me to a place where I can look back and thank God, look back over my life and see all that I've been through and see the hand of God taking me through. That, I think, is the major purpose of this A-Game session, which is on every week, Sunday morning at 8:30 for half an hour. But start listening to the show at 8 a.m. You have a prayer warrior. Help get your mind and your heart in the right place before thinking about putting together your plan or contingency actions for in case of emergency. So these segments, this is segment 6 of a series that I'm doing called How Your Setbacks Can Become Setups for a Comeback, because we're going to have setbacks in life, but how prepared we are for it and to be resilient, to have endurance, to have patience, persistence. These are all key things that for some of us, it comes natural. Woohoo! Yay! Good for you. But for most of us on the planet, we have to practice these different principles in our lives in order for us to assure that we can come out of most of what we do alive and well and ready for what's next, right? Just, we know we can get through one crisis and another one is looming right away. What's even worse is while you're in the middle of one crisis, up pops something else, you know? So life is finicky like that, but we do have a mind that God gave us that we can think and that we can control our emotions and we can plan and we can get through it. What I think I want to start this segment off, I believe this is segment number 6, talking about communicating in a crisis. Yeah, I think I'll talk about communicating in crisis because we have talked about multiple strategies and hopefully you put them in place. Remember I asked you or made a suggestion that you just come to the A-Game session with a pen, a pencil, or if you type or fast or whatever, just to take some notes, something might pop out. Or you can also review each one of the segments of the A-Game. Every single segment is now on Spotify. Just put in my name, Winston Trumpet, and you'll see the A-Game pop up. When you click on it, all of the segments are there, especially if you want to just follow the segments in these sessions pertaining to your setback being a setup for your comeback, all right? So it can be difficult when I'm saying communication in a crisis, because it can be difficult to think about communication when you're in the midst of a disaster. But shutting down your communication channels when you most need them, that can be even more damaging. So a huge part of remaining resilient and credible during times of trouble is to communicate the facts and issues of the situation to all involved, all of the stakeholders, clearly, quickly, and concisely. To do this, I'm going to give you a tool, what I call the 5 C's of communicating in a crisis. The 5 C's of communicating in a crisis. You don't actually have to deal with them or apply them in the order that I'm saying, but it doesn't matter what order, you'll know what order they're in. The main thing is to understand the process itself in making sure that you have great communication during a crisis, all right? So number one, are you ready? Ready or not, here I come. Number one are our concerns. Focus your attention on the needs and concerns of those involved. Don't focus the message that you're communicating only on the damage control. Where appropriate, acknowledge people's concerns in the middle of the process in order for you to deal with them directly. So your concerns are the one of the things that need to be part of the 5 C's. What are the concerns? What are the considerations? What are the fears? What are the doubts? So we need to ask ourselves sometimes the hard questions about these things in order for us to have relative hard answers or responses to them so that we are end up standing tall in the middle of or at the end of the crisis that might we be addressing. Concerns. Then after that, I think I'll use clarity. Where possible, leave no room for improper assumptions or best guesses. Remember, the more people that communicate the initial message that's out there, by the time the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th person hears that, it might have changed along the way. It's like that game we used to play as a kid called telephone. We'll start off saying a phrase and whisper it into the ear of one person, and they'll pass it to the next and pass it around the circle. And usually by the time it gets back to you, it's a totally different message than when you set out. And realizing that, it means that we have to repeatedly put out the same clear message so that it ends up from the person who heard it first to the person who heard it last, that it's consistent, and that's to make sure that you have clarity. Leave no room for presumptions or improper assumptions or even best guesses, right? The clearer your message is, the more people will believe you are telling them everything they need to know. When communication is vague, it implies that you're hiding something or only telling partial truths, or that you just don't care, right? Taking time to be very clear, make sure that your message is understood during a crisis is very important for the 3rd C, which is control. Remain in control of what is being said. When you lose control of the message, there's no stopping the flow of inaccurate information, and your whole communication plan needs to center on staying in control. I know sometimes you say, okay, how can I be in control of something that, number one, I didn't expect to happen, and number two, my emotions are running wild. My friend, it's only by proper preparation before presentation of the problem can help you to prevent the poor performance that will lead to this being something that is life crushing instead of something that is life saving. And I know the 4th C is one that I struggled with for many years, and that is being confident. You know, your message and delivery must assure those listening that you're taking actions in everyone's best interest. It's one thing to deliver bad news openly, and it's another to effectively convey that you're doing everything you can to minimize the negative impact of that news. So speak with confidence, but don't lose sight of your humanity. Acknowledge that you can't make everything okay, but make sure that people know that you're doing your best. My motto is, People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I need to have confidence in the person that's guiding me and directing me through these different vicissitudes of life. And I need to also have confidence in myself in guiding and leading people through some of those inconsistencies and unexpected things so that they can get the support that they need and thrive even versus just to survive. And please don't let me go through that again. And what gives us great confidence is that we know that we're competent. So my fifth C is to be competent or have competence. Convey the notion that you are able to handle the situation and you have the advice and the support of many people. And of course, make sure that you do. And when you use the five C's, you assure people that you can handle the situation, that you're not being deceitful in any way. This reinforces their belief in your ability to manage the situation in the best way you know how. And this doesn't matter what area of your life that you're a leader in. If you're leading in the home as a mother or a father, if you're leading in the church and whatever different offices or areas of responsibility, everyone from the apostle, the bishop, the pastor, the deacon, the worship leader, every single aspect of those areas of leadership require us to be able to reinforce in those that are we're serving or providing a service for in our ability to manage the situation, and they're putting forth our best efforts in order for their great success. Okay? All right. So that's the five C's that I wanted to put into play. They are concerns, clarity, control, and I believe next I said confidence, and then last but not least is competence. Like I said, these are not in any order, but as you make up your own list of these things that pertain to your situation, you'll see that your response to them will get you through to the other side of this in shining bright and ready to go for more. I think that one of the challenges in getting a plan ready for situations that could knock you down is probably thinking that the improbabilities of them happening outweigh the probabilities. And I think that that's wrong, because if you're only thinking about the things that you know can happen instead of thinking of things that you really don't know can happen, it can happen that when these things come, you won't be ready to deal with them. So I want to spend the next few minutes talking about, we talked about communicating during a crisis. Let's talk a little bit about coping when the crisis strikes, you know, because we work in a very volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous environment for our businesses, our ministries, our families. So if we can accept this and prepare ourselves, then we will be in a good place to cope with it. But even if we had to, even if you listen to the rest of the, or the different different segments of the A-game presentation show sessions, even if you skip one or two of the things that I've spoken about in this toolkit that I've been sharing with you to help you deal with an immediate crisis, you can still get by as long as you have a set of robust personal skills and tools in your back pocket to see you through. That helps you to cope when crisis strikes. Laying the foundation for a possible future crisis is one thing, but dealing with the reality of one in the here and now is quite another. Because you see, even if you plan for this moment of crisis, events may unfold in an unforeseen way or move faster than you expected, and your own reaction to them might surprise you. So in this segment, the bottom of this segment, I want to look at the connection between pressure and stress. And with the help of what I want to share with you, it's called the inverted U model, the inverted U, the letter U model. This knowledge from what I'm going to share to you today can help you to understand what's happening to you when a crisis hits so that you can take immediate control. We'll consider your emotions and how to manage them, so that you can stay calm in a crisis and emerge with your head held high, knowing that I did it. I planned to do it. It was intentional. It didn't just happen. I was part of making it happen. I took all the right steps. So once we see how managing your emotions and the impact it has on them, I think I want to review the resources that you have available to you, both internally and externally. And then there'll be time to act. We'll introduce you to another tool, TODAR. TODAR. That's why I tell you, bring a pen or pencil. Yeah, this is a note you'd want to take. TODAR is a tool that can help you to react to situations as they unfold without being knocked off the course that you're on. And lastly, I think it's important to support the people who work with you. I don't care what area of your life we're talking about, whether it's your church ministry, whether it's your household, whether it's your employment, place of employment. If you're the boss, it doesn't matter. It's important to sort the people who work with. So we look at how you can do this while problems whirl all around you, how you can still end up being successful with them as time goes by. So let's talk about this thing I had put out there. What is the inverted U model? And you can, I'm not making these things up. These are things that I got when I was in college, actually getting a degree in business, and have effectively transferred them from their meaning to help me to make my quote unquote real business work. But there's also the business of running my life, and they have transferred into more positive principles that I can use for that than even in my business itself. See, chances are whenever the waters around you get choppy, you naturally dig deeper to deal with the situation. But when the pressure on you gets too high, no amount of extra effort can prevent your performance from starting to fail, right? Now, this familiar experience can hide a more subtle relationship between pressure and performance, which is best illustrated in the inverted U model. I wish that I was doing this, and I might do this as a PowerPoint presentation so you can see it live, but I'm going to try to ask you to use your imagination, to use your imagination on what I'm talking about, okay? So according to this model, some pressure is a good thing. If you're under too little pressure, you'll feel bored, unmotivated, and stressed, and you'll probably end up performing badly. A moderate amount of pressure will keep you on your toes and will keep and help you to reach your peak performance, but your mind becomes crowded with worries and your performance then will likely drop when you go beyond the point that you feel good or prepared or confident under pressure. So frustratingly, this dip comes at the time when you need to be your strongest. You'll find yourself less effective. Listen, you'll find yourself much less effective, actually, at everyday tasks as well as the tough new demands that you're facing. You'll experience a range of negative emotions that could add to your problems even more. So many times during the time that I laid in the hospital bed after this accident, I was concerned about whether I'll be able to walk again. Will this be pain that is lifelong? Will I have to take a medication? Will I have to stop working at the job that I do? All of these different aspects or possibilities of the what ifs during my time of recuperation, they took on a life of their own, and I needed to be able to stand there and identify and manage my feelings, because emotions during a crisis can be hard to handle. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Those of you who say amen, you all are definitely A-gamers, maybe. You see, when a crisis strikes, it's natural. It's natural. Don't feel bad about it to feel a sudden rush of strong emotions. You may, for example, feel anger when you discover that something or someone has let you down, or fear when they're starting to have layoffs and businesses are starting to close off. They can turn dramatically against you, and you can have panic when you hear that a family member has been taken to the hospital and you start dealing with the what ifs of that situation. So dealing with powerful and sometimes overwhelming emotions like these when you're highly pressured can be a mighty challenge. But The harder your feelings are to manage, the more important it is that you catch a hold and a grip on them for you to succeed. Because if you fail, your emotions will hinder your ability to act rationally and to make intelligent and assured decisions. Be sure to avoid simply wishing away your feelings or trying to ignore them. Self-control will only get you so far, and eventually the lid will blow off. Instead, take note of your emotions and put into practice the advice that I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes here that we have in this segment. So, how do you deal and end up coping? Well, you can actually use physical relaxation techniques. When things go really wrong, your body reacts. Your heart may start racing and a sense of panic may take hold of you. You might get short of breath and you start to sweat, right? You might then find yourself making what's called, making instinctive knee-jerk responses instead of well-considered, well-planned, and wise decisions. So you must deal with any rush of adrenaline that you feel. You need time and space to gather your thoughts so that you can consider the situation calmly and objectively before you react to it. Now, physical relaxation techniques, you can Google, probably millions of them, but some are like deep breathing and centeringly calm your mind and body. Physical relaxing techniques to help to ground you. They make you more composed and level-headed and help to equip you emotionally to manage situation dispassionately and objectively. Did you hear that? Yes, that's a deep breath. You know, sometimes when someone is talking to me and I get aggravated, I take this deep breath and exhale before I respond, because I have to let that some of that steam off. You're starting to get on my nerves now. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, right? So practicing some of the physical relaxation techniques, but breathing is one of the most important, one of the most subtle, yet one of the most powerful relaxing techniques that you have at your disposal. And you can adjust your breathing at any given time during a crisis. Yes, it takes place when you breathe so deeply that your lower belly expands. It's not dealing from your upper respiratory, it's from your lower respiratory, right? You send it down into your belly. It's the opposite of shallow breathing, which is how many people be for such a time as this. Your breathing gets hard, you're gasping, running for breath. No, stop, slow down, control. Breathe in through your nose deeply and exhale. And as you breathe in through your nose, fill your belly with air. And then as you exhale, release that, right? Filling only the upper part of your chest with air gives you shallow breathing. So it's simple, though, to practice deep breathing. I'm in my study of martial arts as a student, the breathing exercise that we did made the difference between whether or not we made it through a fight situation or not, because this is what I learned and how I've earned, you know, some of the trophies that I have in the arena, is that if I can outbreathe you, I can beat you. You see, I don't care if you're faster than me or stronger than me, if I get you to run out of breath before I do, your strength and your speed don't matter. They become very insignificant, right? So sometimes as you practice deep breathing, and when you want to do it intentionally, you set some time aside, you can find somewhere restful to sit that's comfortable but supported, so you don't fall asleep and out of sight, so that, you know, even if you're doing it in the middle of the day, so if the coworkers see you chilling, that you don't feel self-conscious about that. So place a hand on your stomach right now. Yeah, right now, while you're sitting here, place your hand on your stomach. And breathe in deep through your nose. Only your stomach should move. The air you breathe in should push against your hand, not your chest or shoulders. Now exhale slowly through your mouth. Repeat this for a few minutes. Even now, as you continue to talk, you can do it from now until the end of the show, actually, and you will start to see that concentrating on how it fills your lower belly with air actually can give you a sense of control over your breathing. Because if you're thinking about controlling your breathing, you're thinking about controlling yourself. And by doing so, it puts you in the mindset of controlling the situation that you're in. It might sound too simple to be true or useful, but there are good physiological reasons why deep breathing works. So just give it a try. Just give it a try. Just one of the things that lead to people not really accomplishing their most is that they have what's called prior to investigation, right? They have already disregarded its ability to work without trying it. They've jumped to a conclusion. So sometimes just be willing to try new things by faith in the person that's giving them to you, like myself. And while you're deep breathing, practice centering yourself. There's three basic steps that I want to talk to you about in centering yourself. Centering is it's another effective relaxation method. I believe that centering, I actually encountered, like I said, in my study of martial arts. And I think that the process of centering came from a martial art called Aikido. It's a visualization technique that helps you to channel nervous energy to the here and the now. Centering enables you to remain grounded, focused, and calm in difficult situations. But these have to be practiced before the situation so that when the situation comes, it's not something that you do. It's who you are in that situation. You're very calm. You're very focused. You're very confident. Even though the emotions are pressing against you to just lose it, to just respond instinctively, no. With proper practice, you can prepare to have your setback become a setup for your comeback. So concentrate on your breathing first. You should still be hand on stomach kind of breathing that way. I said now deeply in through your nose, fill your belly, let it come out. Focus on breathing deeply and slowly, drawing air right down into your lungs. And now while that's happening with your breathing, in your mind, locate your center of gravity. And centering, this is about 2 inches below your belly button, right? So focus your mind on it. Concentrate on what your center feels like, right in the middle of you. And breathe in and out deeply at 5, 6, 10 times. And feel the sensation of being grounded, of being balanced, and of being in control. And then that inhale, you inhale the calmness, you inhale the confidence, and it goes down into your belly, and it just starts to flood over that tight ball of aggression and depression inside of you. And now exhale and see that as your exhaust system, right? Your engine is burning good gas, but that exhaust is of no use to you as the vehicle. Get it out of there. Let that spit right out through your tailpipe, okay? Expel your negative energy with that next breath. Visualize your negative energy, your worry, your anger, your unhappiness, collecting in a ball at your center, and see it moving upward toward your hands, and visualize throwing it into the distance. Jesus says that if you are worried and if you are heavy burdened, heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. He said to cast your cares upon me and I will give you strength for your soul. The casting is like the fishermen casting their net. They don't just drop it overboard. They go 1, 2, 3 and they swing and get momentum and then they throw it out as far as they can away from the boat. And that's what Jesus said to do with our problems and our cares and our concern is we expel our negative energy. We visualize that negative energy, your worry, your anger, your unhappiness. Focus on thinking positive and on succeeding, that what you want to do is achieve, and you blow out all of that negativity into the atmosphere. Take it out from inside of you. Amen. All right. So segment 6 is done for today. Eddie, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to use this platform to share what God has put on my heart for anyone that's listening. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And let me tell you, I do want you to do one thing, and that is to be blessed, but be blessed intentionally. Be blessed on purpose. Be blessed because you can be blessed. And it's a better option to be blessed than to be hurt. And as you know, we're on every week, and we're looking forward to another fantastic week as we continue with this topic. And I want you, like I said, to be blessed intentionally. There's no stopping us now. This is Winston from the A-Game signing off until God bless us to hopefully be together again next session.